good day, listeners. Thank you all for tuning in, as always, to CIDI's Daily News Show, Township's Daily News Bits, and I am your host, Taylor McClure. On today's episode, we are doing a follow-up story on the province-wide public sector strike that is taking place in Quebec. Following strike days in November, another round of strikes was announced for December 8th to December 14th. The Common Front is made up of four main unions: the Confédération des syndicats nationaux, the Centrale des syndicats du Québec, la Fédération des travailleurs et travailleuses du Québec, and the Alliance du personnel professionnel et technique de la santé et des services sociaux. And they have joined forces, amongst other provincial unions here in the province, to negotiate with the provincial government and to encourage Quebec's leaders to invest in the education and healthcare system. The Common Front represents more than 420,000 public sector workers in the province. With today marking the last day for this round of strikes, CIDI had the chance to speak with Éric Gingras, president of La Centrale des syndicats du Québec, CSQ for short, about the most recent round of strikes, why the Common Front decided to vote for another strike mandate, and he provided some insights as to what is going on at the negotiation table and the potential for another strike mandate if a deal is not met. We hope that you enjoy our conversation with Éric. Éric, I wanted to thank you so much for joining CIDI to discuss the province-wide public sector strike taking place here in Quebec. I really appreciate your time.
It's my pleasure. Thanks.
So Éric, as I mentioned, we're here to discuss the province-wide public sector strike mandate in Quebec. Now, more strike days were announced, of course, from December 8th to December 14th. And I wanted to start off by asking you why the Common Front decided to go ahead with more strike days following the two previous strike mandates that took place in November, just to give some context to our listeners here in our community.
Well, actually, we wanted to give that maximum pressure before Christmas. Madame Sonia Lebel, la présidente du Conseil du Trésor, even said herself that she wanted a deal before Christmas. There wasn't much negotiation at the table, so we decided to put a little more pressure. We had in hand the possibility of going an unlimited strike. But instead of doing that, we decided to go with 7 days, starting from Friday till Thursday, in order to show how motivated our members were and to try to get a deal done, because that's the main goal. It's not going on strike. It's having a deal done at the tables, and that's why we're hoping to achieve with that new series of strikes that started Friday.
And from my understanding, the provincial government actually presented, if I'm not mistaken, a new offer to the Common Front on December 6th. So from my understanding, this offer was not enough, from my understanding.
It wasn't enough. I mean, first, there's a lot of tables. There's one that talks about salaries, and there are others that talks about working conditions. Mm-hmm. If you're a teacher, you want to talk about the classrooms. If you're support staff, you want to talk about how many hours you'll be able to work during a day. So there's a bunch of different issues when it comes to different tables. And of course, there's salaries, and there's a big gap between what we want and what the government is offering us. So yeah, actually, we did decide to still go on with that strike. It's the reason why we have to show the government that we're serious. Everybody's motivated, and that's why we decide to go on. But we hope that we won't have to do it again. And before Christmas, we're going to get a deal done.
And what you were mentioning, how what you were looking for, the government was not meeting that. My next question was, what is the Common Front looking for from the government? I didn't know if you were able to provide our listeners with more details on perhaps numbers or wage increase or what you're looking for over the next few years from the government.
I'm used to get lots of questions about numbers. You know, what's our magic number? And there's no magic number, because first, we have to protect our members against the inflation like everybody else. And that's why we want a mechanism against inflation in our deal. So basically, we don't know what the inflation is going to be in 2025, 2026. So maybe for the first time, we'll get a deal that we won't have to to actually fight over the number, because every January we would know the inflation and we would get it as a raise of the salary. So that's one of the main things that we want to get into our next deal. And of course, I mean, there's a big difference if you're in the public sector than in the private sector. So maybe there's a way to maybe increase some salaries for the lower income in our members when it comes to support staff and other kind of categories. So there's no magic numbers, but we know that we want to protect our members against inflation and then some.
Okay. And do you think that the government is willing to meet these demands from the discussions that you've been having over the next couple of weeks? Do you expect an agreement coming anytime soon?
Well, anytime soon, I'm not sure about that. It depends when soon is for you. It's for us, it's before Christmas. I mean, we're putting all the energy, all our efforts in order to get a deal done before Christmas. That's what we want. That's what our members want. They've been on strike for close to 10 days. When the strike is going to be finished on Thursday, it's going to be close to 10 days that's going to be on strike. And they don't want to do some more, but then again, they're willing to if we have to go after Christmas, but it's not what they want, so we want to be able to get a deal done before Christmas. I'm not sure it's going to happen, but that's what we're motivated, and that's what we want to do.
And that's actually a great leeway into my next question, because there's a side of the strike mandate that I didn't really get to explore yet. And from the conversations that I've had here and with people in my community and other strike coverage, there are, of course, people who are being impacted by the strikes, even if they think it's for a good cause, even those are actually taking part in the strikes. So this must be a really stressful time for those who are taking part in these strikes, and it must be difficult sometimes to take that step and to continue striking despite knowing that it's for a good cause.
Well, it's not easy. And like I said, 95% of the people decided to give that mandate of up to a general strike, unlimited general strike. It's what they were ready to give us. But like I said, it's not what they really want to do. They want to get a deal done. They want to go back to class. They want to go back in CGEPS. They want to go back in doing what they do best, teaching, supporting, helping. It's what they do best. So that's what they want to do. So it's not easy what's happening right now, mm-hmm. but they know it's for a good cause, and they know that if you want to still attract and keep people in the public sector, in education, in health, in CGEPS, they know they have the good cause and they have to do it. But then again, it's hard. And that's why I said it's not fun to be on strike, but mm-hmm. it's one of the tools that we have in order to get, once again, a deal done at the bargaining table. And it's that place that things is gonna get better. And that's why they want to do it as soon as possible.
And I'm really curious to know, I don't know if you're able to highlight this, but I don't know much about unions and what happens when people go on strike. But are those teachers and healthcare professionals and support staff, are they paid during the strike mandate? Do they receive any sort of salary during this time? Or are they feeling that as well?
It depends on the unions. Okay. Some do, some don't. We're part at La CSQ. We're part of a union that before this strike, we had 6 days of strike in the past 30 years. So it's not common. I know that in general people, they think that unions always go on strike. But for La CSQ, they've been on strike 5 days over the past 30 years. So like I said, they're not used to it. So that's why it's not the same way that we think about strike. But it depends on the union. Some do, some don't. But at the end of the day, they all feel it. It's on everybody's back that it's hard to wake up in the morning not going to work, but going in the street on the picket lines and support the cause that they've been supporting for the past few weeks mm-hmm. and few months, actually.
So it's not only stressful for the people for the parents out there whose kids aren't being sent to school, but it's just as stressful for the people that are involved. Like, they have so many factors on their backs as well.
Of course, but I still understand that parents, it's stressful for them. They know that it's not fun for the children. It's mm-hmm. not good even, but like we said, and like our member said, maybe 10 days of strike, it's not good, but it's even worse not to have a teacher in front of the class at the beginning of the year because we cannot hire one. We cannot have an educator because no educators chooses the public sector. They go in the private sector. That's why they're going on strike. And that's why actually most of the population, most of the parents support teachers, support everybody that's on strike right now because they know what they're fighting for, even though it's not fun and everybody wants the strike to stop. And you know what? After that, it's all in the hand of Sonia Lebel and Premier Legault.
Well, those are really all the questions that I have from you, Eric. I just wanted to inform our community here about the public sector strike and what is going on at the negotiation table. But please feel free to mention anything else that maybe I didn't mention in my questions that you think would be important for people to be aware of.
No, your questions were the good ones. I had I said everything I needed to say. And I'm happy to have done so.
Well, thank you so much again, Eric.
Of course, thank you, and we'll keep in touch.
As a result of the Common Front and a number of other unions still being in negotiations with the government to fight for their cause, this has led to the doors of Eastern Township School Board schools to be closed, and students are having to stay home. Providing a parent perspective on the situation, CIDI had the chance to speak with community member Davina Harrison about how the stall in negotiations have impacted her family as a mother of four children. We hope that you appreciate this insight from Davina. Davina, I wanted to thank you so much for joining CIDI to chat with us, of course, about the province-wide public sector strike mandate here in Quebec, of course, as a parent here in our community. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me. I really appreciate it.
It is beyond my pleasure. I mean, I think this is something that people need to hear.
So, Davina, as I mentioned, we're here today because, of course, Quebec is currently under a province-wide public sector strike, with this round of strikes expected to finish on Thursday. So, from the people that I interviewed that are involved in the strike, they highlighted that the reason for this is to get the government to properly invest in education and healthcare so that those who work in the education and healthcare system have the proper resources to do their jobs and to provide services to the population. So, I've been trying to gather a variety of perspectives and comments on the situation because of course it's affecting people in different ways. The Common Front is still in negotiations with the government to fight for their cause, which of course has led to the doors of our schools here in the Eastern Townships to be closed and students are having to stay home. From my understanding, you're a mother of four children, and I just wanted to start off by asking you, how has this situation impacted your family? Has it been a challenge to try to work around this and try to find that balance between work and home life as the province is going through this strike and through these negotiations?
So this has impacted us immensely. First of all, we've had to try to figure out if we can have a sitter for the kids or if I have to miss work. I've actually missed a couple days of work or have had to find replacements for work because either family members have appointments and it's not super easy to trust everyone and anyone to watch your kids also. And I mean, I've seen it in my kids where they don't even know what's going to happen that day, if they're going to be stuck going to a sitter's or if they're home with me or what's going to be going on throughout the day.
Well, that's a great leeway into my next question, because I was going to ask you how the situation has affected your children. You know, do they have specific needs that aren't being met because they're no longer in school? Do they miss school? Have they asked questions about what's going on right now?
I mean, I feel like the school did a really good job explaining to the kids what the strike was, because they are aware that there is a strike. For example, one of my kids, she's been struggling. She'll actually pull out everyone's toys and play school and teach them what she's been learning at school and doing like the morning school routine at home, whether it's toys or anything else. She's kind of dragged us into doing certain like snack time routines that she's used to. The older ones have more or less understood it, but you can see it's affecting them not being around their friends. You can see it's affecting them not getting that education that they're so used to being stimulated with.
Yeah, so it's kind of taking them out of their routine, and it's kind of stressful for them, like having to deal with that and deal with a new situation, it seems.
Yes, exactly.
And you know, I was talking to a member of the Common Front, which is of course four main unions here in Quebec that are working at the negotiation table with the provincial government to get a deal done. And he mentioned that while teachers are striking because they know it's for a good cause, they don't necessarily want to be striking either. They want to get back into the classrooms to do what they love and to teach their children once again. During this time, have you been trying to ensure that your children continue to be engaged in educational activities or exercises, or has this been kind of a challenge for you? I know it's not easy for parents to take that on, but is this something that you have been trying to address as well and to ensure that they're still kind of in that school routine and still continuing to learn?
So yes, it somewhat has been a challenge. We're lucky because two of the kids had homework sent home and they were pretty good projects. So we've been able to keep the simulation that, and we've still been able to keep up with like the reading program that they have. So in that sense, it hasn't been a super big challenge. But as for the younger ones, it's been a little harder because there isn't as much homework for them. So it's just trying to approach a teacher, asking like what songs they've learned or like what activities they've learned or how they've gone about learning like their alphabet or how to read power words and those kinds of things. So, I mean, some days it's easier than others because obviously I am not the teacher, so they're not learning from me the same way as their teacher, so they'll try to correct me, and then I kind of feel like I'm not doing it right, but we're managing and we're trying to get through it.
And as a parent, what do you hope to see come out of the strike mandate?
I have a multitude of feelings about this. First of all, obviously, I'm pretty discouraged that there is even a strike that's going on this long, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I do respect it and I do understand it. And I do hope that teachers do not only get a raise out of this, but that the government does finally maybe see that we need all the aides in the school as well. Because cutting off the help, the support that classrooms need, that the schools need. I mean, there's so many different children that have so many needs that need to be met with. And by not having all of that support staff, it's not any easier for teachings to happen and for teachers to have like their class rolling how it should. So I just kind of hope to see like a good balance for teachers and for aides and for the schools to just kind of be able to be where they were before, because I feel like that was cut back a lot. I noticed coming into this school year, I did see that we didn't have the same support staff. I mean, there was still some there, but they did have to cut back on some, and I found like it affected some kids, and it has affected a lot of people who were so used to seeing that specific person, and they couldn't have that person anymore. They had to get to know someone else.
And I should have asked you this in the beginning, Davina, but may I ask what schools your children attend here in the Eastern Townships?
My kids are at Knowlton Academy.
Okay.
But I also have stepkids that are at Massey.
Okay, so you have so you see two, the elementary school and the high school side of things here.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Davina, for being willing to chat about this with us. I really just wanted to get a parent perspective on this situation and how this situation is affecting people here in our community. Please feel free to mention anything else that maybe I didn't mention that you want to mention and make people aware of here here in Lac Brome and its surrounding areas.
No, I really feel like we covered everything, and I just really hope that all the parents that are going through the same thing I'm going through are able to get through it, and that in the end we see the light at the end of this.
Well, thank you so much again, Davina.
It was my pleasure, and thank you so much.
Amy Brown, who is a member of the Lac Brome community, also took the time to chat with CIDI about the challenges she has experienced as a parent. Amy provided some insights into how schools are lacking the proper resources to meet the needs of its students, including her own children, and why she thinks the government needs to act now. Amy, I wanted to start off by thanking you so much for joining CIDI, of course, to talk about the public sector strike that the province is currently under, and speaking from a parent perspective. I really appreciate the time you're taking out of your day to do this. Thanks so much.
It's my pleasure. No problem.
So Amy, as I mentioned, we're here today to chat because, of course, Quebec is currently under a province-wide public sector strike. From the people that I've interviewed that are involved in the strike, teachers, healthcare workers, etc., they highlighted that the reason for this is to get the government to properly invest in our education and healthcare system so that teachers, support staff, healthcare professionals have the resources to do their jobs and to provide the services and support to the population. So when we were coordinating this interview together, you actually mentioned to me that you are homeschooling one of your children due to the lack of support that is available in our schools, from my understanding. Yeah. I was wondering if you would be willing to maybe just start off by highlighting this a little bit more for our community and the factors that led to you making this decision to homeschool your child.
Okay, sure, no problem. So it's my 15-year-old son currently that we are in the process of homeschooling. We pulled him out of his first year at the local public high school last January at the end of term two after noticing that he was struggling big time with his anxiety. He was struggling to understand what was needed of him, where he was supposed to be, how he was supposed to be functioning. We knew going into high school that this was potentially going to be a problem for him. He'd been super, super supported at Knowlton Academy leading up to this particular point in time. And we were led to believe that there was going to be an equal amount of support in a different way, evidently, in the high school. And when he got there, it was a big eye-opener because, A, he's not a typical child. He does have a lot of needs as far as how he understands things is completely different from, I would say, the considered average teenager. He needs explanations in a different way. He definitely needs things slowed down. He can comprehend, but he doesn't ever get it at the same time as everybody else. So he definitely needs more time, and he needs a lot more individual attention. In our current family, he doesn't have any behavioral issues when it comes to school other than typical teenage things. So we've always struggled a little bit to get enough attention for him because he wasn't a behavioral problem. And we've noticed that the system in general is very geared towards, well, they have to help the kids that are in more of a crisis mode. His modes have never really been crisis as far as his behavior is concerned. It's always been academic. So we knew that we had to do something in order to help him to be as successful as possible. And the only option we had left, because he was in English school and had no capacity to switch to French, was to pull him and homeschool him.
And how did this lack of support and resources kind of affect the educational progress of your teenager?
It has stopped it altogether.
And has this transition been challenging for your family, moving from, you know, having him in a public school and now homeschooling him?
Absolutely. It's a big challenge. We're only a family of four. I have two children. I have a 10-year-old and a 15-year-old. We run our own business, thankfully, because I don't know how I would do this without. Last year, for the remainder of the school year that we actually literally homeschooled him, where we had, you know, grandparents involved, I paid some tutors in the subjects that I wasn't well-versed enough in. I had to make him schedules every week. We had to follow up with the DEM, which is a very exhaustive process that works through the government as well to sort of maintain some sort of modicum of organization to families at homeschool. A lot of homeschooling families have difficulty with them. You have to report to them. You have to give them what you're doing. You have to prove that you're doing it. And then at the end of the year, you either have to prove that your child was successful or not. So for our family, that particular system is fine because they're not checking up on you on a daily basis. You can ebb and flow with the child's needs. You know, I'm not a stay-at-home mom, never have been. My husband is not a stay-at-home dad. We didn't have any way that we could just stay home with him and make sure he was as successful as possible. So we had to rely heavily on everybody we could get our hands on. So I had to pay a lot of money for tutors. I paid for online classes. We were just trying to figure out what worked best for our son. This year, we decided to pay a full online service, which is called Quebec Online School, which manages to give him some classes during the week and his assignments to try and figure out what level he's actually at and where he's successful. So I'm paying them kind of like a private school, but online, and they follow up with everything that he needs. But the rest of it is up to my son, and therefore up to me, to follow up on his organization, which is a challenge for him.
From my understanding, you also have another child, and you mentioned to me that he's also experiencing some challenges with his learning as a result of the lack of personnel in the classrooms. So I didn't know if you wanted to highlight that a little bit more and what they're experiencing in the classrooms.
So my youngest son is in elementary school still. He's in grade four. He is not an academic challenge. He needs to have more. And what we found over the last couple of years especially is that although there's small classrooms where he is and the teachers are great, I would never say anything about the actual support of the teachers personally themselves. I think they're doing the best they can. But for him, he needs a lot more. He needs to be pushed. He needs to be challenged. His grades are really, really good. They're not perfect because I think that he, unfortunately, is bored and isn't pushed and therefore doesn't really try as hard as he could because there's so much effort that has to go into the more special needs kids, the, you know, adaptations of the different levels of groups. Even in a 14-kid classroom, there's such a wide variety of needs that all are trying to be met at any given time, plus the extracurriculars and all the other things. Now with strikes, it's like it's stopped progress altogether. So I'm finding it very difficult to I'm finding myself back into sort of a COVID-era homeschooling type let's not lose any progress, at least that we've got started, because he does need more French skills. He does read, but he just needs to be pushed to do it. And he doesn't have the motivation to do it because he knows that he's just going to go to school and get it done in 15 minutes and wait for everybody else to catch up.
From what I'm getting, the teachers are so overloaded. They just can't they can't meet the needs of your children in the classroom.
Exactly. That's exactly. And we're at complete opposite ends of the spectrum with both my children. And in both circumstances, the needs are not being met.
And considering your situation, like you mentioned, you seem to be very supportive of the teaching staff that are at these schools, and you recognize that they're doing their best.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely.
Considering your situation, what do you hope to see come out of the strike mandate? What is your position on this, and what do you hope to see happen?
I'd love to say I'm very hopeful that things are going to change, but I believe it's such a huge systematic change that is needed, and that we're far beyond just signing a new contract, throwing a little bit of money one way or another. I really hope that this starts a systematic change of the way that our healthcare system, the way that our schooling system works, because I don't see that anything's going to change until they actually start to attack some of these problems. I know that in the teacher's perspective, what they're asking for is better resources to be able to meet the kids' needs without necessarily having all the kids in the same classroom. I have a special needs kid. He shouldn't be in the same classroom as the kid that doesn't struggle academically. Mm-hmm. He should be in a place where he feels like he fits in a little bit better, and that he gets the support that he needs in order to progress in the way that he's going to progress. Mm-hmm. And my eldest child needs to be in enriched programs that don't seem to exist, because we're just flailing as a public society right now. So I hope that somewhere they get the kids back to school, because I believe ultimately that most kids need to be in school. They need that routine, and they need to learn both socially and academically. But I fully support that if it doesn't happen right away, that maybe somebody somewhere in the government will wake up and realize that not only are you going to see teachers walking off the job and just changing careers altogether, nurses, doctors, whoever else is involved in this strike, but that, you know, you can't have a system completely collapse. You need to actually pay attention to the things that are important. And these are base level employees. As far as I'm concerned, our society doesn't exist without them. I'm fully supportive until they get what they need.
I just feel like the whole system has collapsed. And I think it's about time that everybody looks at it from a different perspective. We are no longer 20, 30, 40 years back. We are now in 2023 going on to 2024, and things need to change. They need to look at things in a whole new way.
Thank you so much, Amy, for taking the time to chat with us about this. I really wanted to gather as many perspectives as possible on this situation. So thank you so much. And please feel free to mention anything else that you think would be important for our community to be aware of that maybe I didn't touch on in my questions.
Well, I think it's important for everybody to realize that I know that this is very inconvenient for most families. If anything, you know, I don't think it's up to the teachers to feel the pressure that the kids need to be back in school, that it's up to them to choose to go back to work. As you said, I think that their choice would be to be at work. And parents, I hear a lot of negative comments about how they're reacting to this and how all they want is more money. I think that if anybody spent any time in a classroom setting, or probably in a hospital or any other healthcare setting, you would see that these people are within their right to be doing what they're doing, and just try to support your kids as best you can at this point, and use as much family and friends as you need to get through this time frame so that we can get some real change.
Well, thanks so much again, Amy, for taking the time to chat.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, dear listeners, for tuning in to today's episode, where we had the chance to speak with Eric Gingre, Davina Harrison, and Amy Brown regarding the public sector strike mandate. We hope that you enjoyed today's episode, and stay tuned because there will be more Daily News Bits coming your way. Township's Daily News Bits is a program sponsored by Local Journalism Initiative.